Welcome to episode 2 of the Crusader Corner. I'm Nathan Otten with my co-host, Braden Sample. How are you doing today?
Doing all right. How are you doing?
Great. So last episode, it was just me and him, but we have our first ever guest with us today. We have a special guest. Quick introduction. He is the Director of Community Engagement, a LaSalle grad, and a certified T-shirt cannon operator. We have Big Mo Barrett today on the podcast. How you doing, Barrett?
Awesome. I got one thing to say before we start talking about podcasts. Braden, I am excited for hockey season.
Oh, yeah.
It is the most underrated sport at Moeller High School. I know you're kind of partial to that, I think, a little bit. But Moeller hockey is legit. And I just want to say off the top, I cannot wait for that game. Is it U.S. Bank Arena, or did they change the name?
Heritage Bank.
I say I'm old school. Heritage Bank Arena. If you're listening to this podcast, get your tickets. They're not on sale yet. That is an incredible game.
Should be free. You don't need to buy
tickets. Right. You don't need a ticket, right?
Yeah, just come on.
You need to pay to park, though, right?
Yeah, it's like $5, though.
That is an incredible environment, and you guys do a tremendous job putting that together.
Thank you.
So before we get started with, like, main questions, do you specifically have anything for us, like anything you want to promote, say, just anything in
general? There have been so many since this studio was launched about a week ago. Gavin Gray and myself have had probably no less than, and I'm not making this number up, 30, 40 guys that say they want to do a podcast. Because a podcast is sexy. It sounds great. But people don't understand you two do the work that goes into putting a podcast on. You just don't turn the mic on, you start talking. You have to do show prep. You have to do a lot of prep for the show, like transitions, commercials, music, putting it onto the social media. Let's say you do I always tell guys, all right, let's say we hit record and we do a show. What do you do with it then? Like, there's a lot of post-production that goes on. How are you going to share it on what platform? So the fact that you guys have said you wanted to do this and have taken the steps to do it is legit. And so I give kudos to you guys for jumping on this and jumping in head first to make this happen. It's really cool. And I'm excited to be one of the first.
You are the first guest.
Because
last episode,
Texas,
it was just me and him.
That's cool. I love it. I'm honored.
We thanked you last episode, but, like, obviously we thank you and Mr. Gray and all that for making this whole space possible and making sure everything was set for us. Because, I mean, I presented the idea to you on freshman retreat, and you were very open to it, and I do appreciate kind of all the help that you've given us in this process.
But I've done this forever, and I always tell parents, if a dude wants to do something like this, the parents always want him to, right? But oftentimes the guys don't. So I always say, if somebody wants to do something, have the guys come to me, because saying you want to do it and then doing it are two completely different things, and you guys are actually taking the ball at the 2-yard line and punching it in. And again, kudos to you guys for really running with this. The challenge of it, in my experience in doing our podcast for, 3 or 4 years now, is the consistency part. But I think you guys are going to hit that out of the park, no doubt.
Yep.
So, obviously, I mentioned in your intro that you're a LaSalle grad.
I know, you said that. When I was in hostage negotiations, we always talked about how when you have a suspect in a house, you want to align yourself and make the suspect think that you have a lot in common. So starting off by telling everybody I'm a LaSalle grad, I'm off to a bad start right out of
Listen,
the gate.
I mean, I got to mention that because it's a lot of people don't know that. But, like, the question is, what drew you to Moeller? Like, specific, because you had, from what I understand, you had a pretty similar role at LaSalle before you came here.
Mm-hmm.
What drew you to Moeller specifically? Not necessarily what drew you away, but, like, what drew you to Moeller?
So, like, I'm a St. Margaret of York. Where you guys go to grade school?
I went to John Paul II.
John Paul.
I went to Mother Teresa.
Mother Teresa. So I went to a parishioner of St. Margaret of York. Got married there in 2005. Became good friends with a lot of dudes. And St. Margaret of York's in Loveland. Became good friends with a lot of guys, adult men, through men's, what do they call that? Prayer groups and retreats and stuff. And they're all Moeller guys. I'm like, these guys are really good dudes. And then my kids started coming up through school, and all their friends wanted to go to Moeller. So I was always on the outside looking in. And then in 2017, I was approached by somebody that's no longer here anymore and said, would you be interested coming to Moeller? And to be honest with you, at the time, I thought, this guy's crazy. Like, I'm so immersed into that LaSalle lifestyle. But over the course of the next 2 years, things would work certain ways. And in about 2019, I called Marshall Heisdew, and I said, I think I'm ready to make the move. So it was like a 2-year discernment process. People say, was it hard? I said no, because you know I had 2 years to think about it, and come 2019, I was locked in, ready to go. And you know, my friends at Smoy were excited because you know they're Moeller guys, and my kids wanted to go to Moeller, so it worked out. It's been a blessing in my life, no doubt.
Of course, we're glad you're here. All the stuff that you do for Moeller, all the help that you give—not even, I mean, not just the students, but also like athletes and all the staff and everything. So we do appreciate that you came to Moeller from LaSalle. So,
yeah. So I've seen before, like you had that. You've done broadcasting before, and like your career, you had that chance. I remember with the Padres, and you had that little broadcast tryout over there. When you came over to Moeller, was that like the main goal, do broadcasting stuff, or did you want to do like your alumni communication stuff?
Yeah, that's a good question. It was all alumni stuff. I mean, it was what I love to do, and reaching alumni, and you know, part of reaching alumni, and you know, you have a toolbox, right? Well, broadcast journalism, social media, all those things that control my life, which I can't wait to retire and get rid of all social media. But those are all the tools that I use. So doing what we're doing now, a podcast, is how you get out to people. What you guys are doing with your podcast, I mean, there are people that are driving around in their cars, and nowadays, what do? They listen to a podcast, right? So these are the things that I use in my role as an alum, when I was the alumni director. And so it happened to be one of my first loves. I went to school for broadcasting at Ohio Northern, and it's a passion I've always had. I worked at Channel 5 in 19, worked in the newsroom, and not as savvy as Mr. Gray is on the technical side. I'm excited to learn a lot about the technical side of things, but I did more in front of the camera stuff, you know, presentation, speaking type things. But, you know, now my role now is community engagement. My goal is to take Moeller High School, and people often, I get a lot of people that want to complain come to me, but I'd say 95% of my job is people like loving what we put out, what I put out. And I've always said this, like Moeller's been remarkable since 1960. Like we're not doing anything different when Big Mo Barrett arrived than before. The only difference is Moeller didn't have a microphone or a platform or a voice to share what has been happening here since 1960. So that's really all I've done. I'm a monkey could really do what I do, and it's just put a camera in front of Nathan Otten and explain to everybody what he's doing. And then other alumni see that, other people that graduated Moeller families see that, and it harkens them back to when they were in school, and it creates an emotional connection to the school that people weren't doing, or nobody did that at most high schools. So really just connecting the dots emotionally for people to what this place means to them. And you guys know how much this place means to over, you know, 14,000 alumni. It's a big deal. And when you can start connecting the dots, when guys can walk in this building and see you guys doing what you're doing now, it makes alumni proud. And to be able to do immersed broadcasting, which is my first love, into what I do professionally has been a blessing for sure.
And, I mean, you mentioned how it's important for alumni especially, and also everybody in the Moeller family, to understand what's going on day-to-day, which is also, I mean, Braden can agree with me, like, this is kind of one of the reasons we wanted to do this podcast, because, like, you running a podcast is important, being able to interview students and interview staff, but I think giving the perspective of a student who's here day in and day out, being able to talk to their fellow students about the experiences, I think is one of the big reasons we wanted to do a student-run podcast, because being able to get that experience and being able to hear from students specifically about that experience, I think is also going to be able to help alumni as well as anyone in the Moeller family to understand. Also, because I think a lot of parents may not necessarily understand what their tuition money is going towards all the time.
I mean, 100%.
Because they get, like, you get, like, the, you know, the bedazzled version during open house and during all these events, but like to know the nitty gritty, like day in and day out, I think
ground
is important
zero
for parents as well. Yes.
Because in what we do, you know, you have to, not you, but I think people have to understand, like from our Big Mo podcast, the one that started the podcast here at Moeller, you know, the purpose of, there's multiple purposes and facets to that. And like your target audience, which I think is awesome, what you guys are doing, you're doing it from the lens of a student, a man of molar, which is unique. And there's not one here like that. Where mine, I say mine, ours, the Big Mo podcast, we have alumni. We have so different constituent bases that you're talking to. Media, right? So we're pushing a lot of stuff out. Alumni, of course, current students a lot of times, past parents as well. So there's a lot of different buckets. And, and because of that, we're all over the place. It's not all students. It's not all alumni. I'll bring in, you know, and I'm just going to talk to both of you. I got some celebs for you guys to bring on your show a little bit too. But, you know, and here's a little secret sauce to it. So, and I'm not putting down any sport, but give me a small sport here at Molar. You guys give me one.
Tennis.
Tennis, all right. If I'm going to interview somebody from tennis, is that going to garner a large audience outside of the tennis family here outside Molar? Probably not, right? So what we try to do is we try to find a big name out there, whoever that big name might be. Maybe it's a radio personality, TV personality, sports personality, and we start the show off with them in the hopes that once we grab the attention of the listener, then we'll, the second segment will be tennis, right? So we pull somebody in, a big name, with the hopes that then they will listen to tennis as a result. If it's just tennis, no disrespect to tennis, but it's a small team, right? It's a small group of parents. It's a small group of alumni. So we try to mix and match based on whoever is on that show and have a little bit of fun along the way. So there's a little bit, but I love what you guys are doing because it's out of the lens of what it's like to be a student here, a man of Molar. And even though I didn't go to school here, I was in a Catholic school. I have an idea, but my idea is much different, certainly with the building that we're in now today with what you guys are doing, which is why it's really cool.
Which I think is also helpful because, I mean, again, like the main purpose of the podcast initially and the idea that I came up with that what Coach Held, I mean, initially brought us to was a podcast for baseball. And then me and Braden worked together to think like, okay, what if we made this a bigger picture podcast? Like be able to make it about all the sports. Because highlight, again, you do a great job of what you do on the podcast, but being able to highlight the specifically small sports and being able to talk about the achievements that they have, I think is important because, you know, there's like the Matt Ponitowskis of the world and there's all these big name athletes who are at Molar who are playing football and playing basketball and playing baseball, the big hitters of sports, but being able to highlight on the smaller,
absolutely, I think it's awesome.
Is important as well.
Absolutely.
So the next question that we have is so how do you feel about the football team this year? Like any specifics about the team? Obviously that we're doing well so far. I would say that we are doing well. I mean, how do you feel about this team? There's a lot going around.
I'm interested to hear your feedback, but here's what I think. This football team, top to bottom, is stocked, and they have talent top to bottom. Now, you look at a team like last year, they had number 24 Jordan Marshall, or you had number 3 Carson Hobbs, and you had some big names. But top to bottom, this football team, in my opinion, they are – built for a championship type team. They're deep. You look at their, you know, their lead. You got a starting offensive line that is senior laden offensive line. You have some great leaders on the defensive side of the ball. The guys up front are getting it done and getting in the backfield, called the Havoc Mob. Of course, it always helps when you have a signal caller named Matt Ponitowski as a quarterback. You got 5 different weapons as a receiver that you can throw to. 2 tight ends that are top of the in the state, in my opinion, if not the country. They have so many weapons. I don't know how you stop them. They're going to face a really talented Lakota East team on Friday night with only 2 losses, 7-2 on 7-2, 8-2. I think they're 8-2 maybe on the year. I should look at Braden. He's a stat man. But you know that, and they're good offensively. Lakota East is defensively. They're a little suspect from what I'm told. I just don't know how you stop Molar. I think it's going to be a high scoring game. This is a state championship team. Coach Burt doesn't like when we talk about things like that, but I always tell him, your job's a coach. Our job on the air is to have some fun and be the talking heads, right?
So, Brian, I'll let you go first on the feedback for the football team, and then I'll go after you.
I just checked there, 8-3. But I think we were talking last podcast. I think it's it's very neat how they went to – you have Jordan Marshall last year, four-star Big Ten level running back coming to Michigan. You have that guy kind of – you could tell he was kind of the center of the team. Now we have – we have to deal with – we got other running backs coming. Got Dante Ware, Tyler coming in. And I don't think we – like we had last year, I don't think we have just – one star on the team. I feel like the whole entire offense, it's a great group. We got Matt Poniatowski, Jovan, you got Cooper, you got Dante Ware, you got all those guys. You got the great offensive line. And their defense, we've just been great top to bottom. I don't think it's nothing like we had last year where we were trying to give it to Marshall. Like,
yeah, there's not teams keying on one guy.
Yeah.
They're balanced offensively, and they always talk about complementary football, and that's exactly what you're talking about. And I think if you would surprise me, Braden, the thing that I think this team – and I'll be honest with you, I was very concerned about the run game early on in the season. They struggled to grind it out. The development and maturity of Tyler Joslin and the junior, and how he's stepped up, and now you bring Dante Ware, who was injured earlier in the year, and what he's been able to do. This team has now got a complementary run game to go along. You can't just now focus on Matt Poniatowski. You got to worry about the backfield now and the run game, and I think that's been the biggest difference, in my opinion, of Moeller and their success is they're no longer just a passing attack. They can run the football too, and that's made them pretty dangerous.
So I think overall, I mean, how I feel about this team, every single year, I mean, and it's hard not to think like this, every single year, because it's high school, you have like, okay, these great seniors, the guys that are leading our team, especially like Jordan Marshall and all these people, like, you're like, how is this team going to survive next year for certain aspects?
Asked the same question.
Because
yeah.
It's like, you're losing all these people and all these seniors, and you're like, there's no way that we're going to be at a state level again. And then continually, every single year, they prove me wrong, which I'm happy to see. Because it's like, after freshman year, you know, you lose Gesselbrock. How do you find a new leader, a new quarterback to be able to lead the team? And then you have Jordan Marshall leading last year. I'm like, how are we going to be able to supply with the run game? And year in and year out, they prove me wrong. And they realize, you know, this high school team, even though it's specific to high school, like you lose these people every single year, we're still able to fill in these gaps, which I think is something that's you can regard coaching, you can regard all the people stepping up from the lower levels.
I said this to my boys, like, and I have perspective coming from another school, right? What you guys do from a student-athlete perspective and how you guys push each other, Braden, you on the ice, whatever sport it is, like, there's such an accountability and an expectation of excellence. You might fall short of excellence on any given year here at Moeller, but you're going to be great. And how each sport, I mean, look, think about this. We have a soccer team playing in a state semifinal game for the third straight year in a row. You got a football team that is chasing a fourth state semifinal appearance. They got some hurdles to jump still, but they're chasing a fourth. We've practiced on Thanksgiving the last 3 years for football. In these sports, the expectation, they push each other. You guys push each other in the hallways. I see it. You push each other in the locker room. The football team, they get after each other, man. I was watching some football practices, and they're grinding each other. I mean, they're getting after each other. There's a couple of little myths going on, but it's all out of the lens of just excellence. And I've seen it here, and I've never seen anything like it. And I've been doing high schools for over 25, 30 years now, and it what happens here every single day that permeates into the season, which permeates into the postseason. I'm not sure even you guys fully understand and can grasp how special that is. And I always use the phrase, we use it in the alumni office, you know, we stand on the shoulders of giants here at Moeller High School. Every one of you guys know, Braden, you know, there are guys that played hockey here at Moeller that hockey is a big deal to them as alumni. It is a big deal. And what's cool about it is you guys understand that. So you're not just playing for the name on the back of the jersey. You're not just playing for the name on the front of the jersey. You're playing for all those cats that played and skated with you. And when you have the guys in the school, like you guys, who truly believe that, that's where the magic happens. It's not the coaches coaching you. It's the legacy, the tradition. And that's been the magic of this place. And to be able to have a front row seat to watch it as I do, it's pretty special. And there's no doubt about it.
So I think the next question that we've got is going to be interesting to see from your perspective, because we're going to ask all the guests, all the athletes who are coming in here, what's your pregame routine?
My pregame? It's been a long time since I've had a pregame routine. Is it pregame before I do a podcast?
Pregame routine before games, before a podcast, anything. Like, if you have a general routine, I mean, for most athletes, it'll be the same, but before a game, what's your routine?
It's been a long time since I actually played in a game. I'm not real sure, to be honest with you. I don't know if I have a routine. Even back when I played college baseball, I don't even know if I had a routine. I never stepped on the lines, first and third base lines, coming out in the field. But I don't think I was, what's the word?
Superstitious.
I don't think I was superstitious, but I never stepped on the lines. But I don't know, routine-wise, everybody now has a routine.
Yeah.
You see these guys with headphones. Hell, when I played, you didn't have that kind of stuff. But everybody's listening to music. You know, there's certain songs or certain, my son has a playlist he listens to. I don't know if I ever had a routine. So that's a lame answer, but I don't think I had one.
Do you have a routine for football games now? Like, I mean, as your position now, do you have a routine?
I do, actually.
Yeah, that's more the question.
Okay, good. Okay. Now I do have, for like tailgating, for Friday night.
Yeah.
We have a tradition where we, because, you know, when we do Motown, I don't know if you guys have been a part of that, but we host a show similar to this in Marv. And we go out there, and we're locked in. I mean, essentially, what you guys are learning now is you're entertainers, right? So we have to entertain. We have to engage the crowd. The T-shirt cannon's a tool in that box, but you got to be on. And it's energy zapping, for sure, to be on and to be that energy and that juice. So we usually, for like Friday, I think we have to be at Mount St. Joe at 3:30. So my good friend Tommy Gregory from Montgomery Inn, we will have – tradition of around 2 o'clock or so, we'll head up to Montgomery Inn and have some ribs and have a little snack, and it's kind of our downtime before we pull Marv right in the back of Montgomery Inn, and just an hour just to kind of sit back, relax, check out a little bit before we have to turn it on, because we got to leave at 3 at least this Friday to make it over to Mount St. Joe by 3:30. And once we get there, we're locked and loaded. We got to open Marv up. We got to set speakers up. We got to get the podcast. We got to get the headset, the music playlist. And then invariably you got people coming up with questions like, how do I get this? Where do I get a ticket here? So it's like ground zero for Motown. And it's a lot of fun, but it's a lot of work too. So it's kind of our downtime at Montgomery Inn. Little shout out to Montgomery Inn on your show. How come Tommy Gregory doesn't have Montgomery Inn ribs here on this podcast?
That's the question I've been asking.
Yeah. It's a fact. We have to get on them.
Yeah, I mean, like, you talked about, like, Motown, like, I've walked through it a little bit. It's very special, like, especially, because I don't think Nathan's been through, because
he's always working.
Yeah, I walk through it occasionally.
Yeah. Like, as a
get the free food.
As a student, like, I don't really, like, stay in there. I just want to get in there, get in the stands, and, like, but from what I see, like, especially in the Princeton game, I vividly remember, because it was hard to find parking. We had to walk through it. And it's just electric there. Like all the students or all the parents, all the alumni, all the fans there, just like chilling, talking, eating food, getting ready for the game. I think that goes back to your statement of like alumni. Like it's really important. Like sports and just the entire school is just so important.
Braden, what year are you?
I'm senior.
You're senior. So yes. You guys are gonna check out, right?
Yeah.
And a little pump up, if I could. We're gonna have a for all the guys that graduated in the last 5 years on Thanksgiving. The day before Thanksgiving, we have a pizza lunch. So you guys next year will be able to come back and enjoy that for the first time. But at that pizza lunch, it's dudes coming back together again. And you guys don't understand yet. And I've said this, if I've said it once, I've said it a million times. You guys, most guys, are rushing to get out of here. They look like felony suspects out of a robbery. I mean, they want to get the hell out of here as fast as they can. I guarantee you, mark this down, the date that we're doing this podcast, within 1 week, you will find yourself by yourself on the verge of tears wishing you could have one more day. It's a psychology project that somebody could work on, a sociology project, because guys want to get out, and then once they're gone, you walk down that Cintas Center aisle your last time, and you realize it's over. So those Motowns, those Thanksgiving lunches that we had before, those are opportunities for you guys to, and Motown, not as much. Braden, you said it, it's more of an older, but it's the older alumni. It's the gathering point where these guys can't do that in a game, right, because they're watching the game. But it's the one spot that that brotherhood is rekindled at varying levels, where guys come back and share stories. You know, they were always faster when they tell their stories. They always caught bigger fish. They always – it's some of the stories we hear are fantastic. But it's that opportunity to come back and rekindle that, that molar brotherhood that you guys are experiencing every day right now.
Yeah, I think I got a little story, just a little side tangent for that. So when we last year we played St. Charles at home, and we there was a couple alumni – There was some that came through the locker room.
At St. Charles or here in town?
Yeah, it was at home. So they came through our locker room, and they were talking with the coach, and they came back out because we have all the pictures of all the previous varsity teams he was looking at, trying to find where he was. And he looks around, and he saw me. He's like, oh, nice to see that they didn't retire my number, which is number 16, which is what I wear. And he was, I found it pretty funny. And I think it was special to him, especially because that game I ended up scoring, and I was able to like to point him out in the stands, and we were all pointing at each other. So I think it was special. Like you say, like hockey for sports or for whatever is like a big reason on molar, and it's just great to see whenever they come back, like how happy they are.
Yeah, and I hate saying it to you guys, like you don't understand yet, because it comes across as putting you guys down, but you really don't understand yet because you're still here. But once you graduate, even doing this podcast, getting to spend time with each other doing this, these are the things you guys are going to remember the rest of your life. But oftentimes the guys don't understand it. It's like anything in life. You don't know how much you miss it until it's gone. So very cool you guys are doing this.
So I think we're going to move on to the next part, which is score predictions, which we'll do with you. We want to do that with the guests every single time. So, real quickly, the Molar game versus Lakota East, we've kind of touched on it a little bit. They're both very good teams. Molar's obviously doing very well this season. Do you have a general prediction?
You go first. I want you to go first.
You want me to go first. So, I will say I got a lot of crap last week for my score prediction.
I can't remember. I listened to the show. What was your prediction?
I think I said something like 17 to 10 halftime.
You're a little off.
I was a little off. I noticed I was trying to be a little generous.
I was a bit closer. It's still pretty off.
So I will say I'm going to actually start because in the booth, I was getting a lot of crap before the game from the people that are up in the booth. And so I took their score predictions after the game. So George Smith, he says 42 to 24 final. Rob Fultz.
For
this coming Friday.
That is weird. Okay, go ahead.
Was that your prediction?
That's precisely my prediction, but go ahead. That is odd.
And then Rob Fultz is 49 to 21. Jeff Schneidel also says 49 to 21. And then Nick Wee, he says 42 to 24 as well. And I'm going to be honest with you. They kind of swayed me a little bit. I'm in that general range. I'm going to have to agree with
So you're changing based on the betting line.
I'm not changing based off the betting line. I didn't have a general prediction because it was last week. But based off of that and based off of how we played against Sycamore, I'm gonna have to go with the 42 to 24 prediction. Not necessarily just
that's exactly what I was gonna say.
I think
now, brother Brady, he's over here looking up. He's trying to refine his stats now.
He's looking at the stats.
I think 42-14. I think Moore's gonna get 42. The defense is, if there's a weak link in this Lakota East football team, if there is one, I think it's the defense. I think Moeller's going to score points. I do think their offense is talented. They got multiple Division I guys on offense. I think they're going to put a couple points up on the board. I think that 42-14, maybe 42-21. But now Drew Pasture. Now I know you probably know Drew Pasture. If you don't, being the guy that the numbers guy you are, you have to check him out. It's fantastic50.net online. He has betting. Points
yeah,
spreads.
Fantastic 50.
Let's
take a look at that. Let
me tell you something, Braden. You would love that.
I've looked at it before.
It is great. Fantastic. He's got Moeller number one. He's got Moeller, I think, by 29 in this game, which kind of falls in line with a lot of what you guys are talking about.
Yeah, winning by 29, 97%. I'm somewhere in that range. I'm thinking more.
Now listen to Brady. He's heard five people give their picks. Then he goes to Drew Pasture fan. So you're going to go on a ledge now, right?
Nah, I'm thinking more of like a closer, like the 42-17, something like that.
So you think the defense is going to?
I think we're going to have a good defensive game, especially last week. Was it Lincoln Murphy two pick sixes?
That was Roman Mesa.
Yeah, two pick sixes. Lakota East, I mean, they're a better team than Sycamore, but still, that's a great defensive game.
All right, you ready for this? We'll now, you're going to stand on business here. You ready? Whoever, if one of you two are right, I will bring you guys some of the new Montgomery and chips. How are we going to do this now? Whoever's closest point spread, if you guys are right, if I'm right, I need to be the WMOE fan of the week on your social media platforms.
That's fine.
Right, announced on your next podcast as well.
I can do
Although we're the same. Are we both 42-14?
I said 42-24.
He said 42-24.
I said 42-24.
Exactly. Okay, I will change my prediction.
42-23.
Because George said 42-24. So you, George, and Nick would all be the same.
Well, they're not in this equation.
They're not. Getting Montgomery and chips. I'm just mentioning that. I think, I'm going to go with a 42-21.
All right.
Change it down.
I need that field goal.
And I think we go based off of just who's closest with each score. I think point spread is probably real.
Or should we do over-under?
Over-under?
I don't know. We haven't really figured that out. Could we also have, if we want to do like that player prediction that we did, a little extra spice?
Oh, yeah. We can. So another thing that we do is we do some like really outlandish, some crazy predictions. Because I don't know if you heard it last week, but we did. I think I said something like Ware, like 60-yard touchdown was like going to be the longest rush, something like that, something crazy.
But
like,
you guys tell me how you want to do it, and then we'll stand on business. And I got Montgomery and chips if I'm wrong, and either one of you are right.
I think how we should do it with score predictions. I think we do point spread. I mean, if we do point differential, so.
All right, so are we all closest different, though, point spread-wise? 42-14?
Yeah. So you said 42-14.
You and I are. What about you, Braden? Where are you?
42-17.
So you're 42-24. I'm 42-21.
I'm 42-17.
And you're 42-17.
Perfect. I need Lakota East to score a little bit. I might be on that field talking to the boys. Say, guys, let him kick that field goal.
So, yeah, so we'll do point spread, and then if we do...
If I'm right, I need it on both your platforms, not just one.
Okay. Oh, yeah. We can do that, and then we'll mention
it. And if I'm wrong, and one of you two are right, I'll reward both of you. How's that?
There you go.
Two
that
for
works
one.
For me. That works for me.
Perfect.
So if we do other player predictions, the first question is, do you think Matt's going to play the whole game? Because I know they took him out after the first quarter last game. Do you think he's going to play the whole game this week?
I think he will. I think he plays this game. Here's what I think is going to – I think Cooper McCutchen gets a touchdown. I also think Sam Hamilton gets a touchdown.
Okay.
I think we get a touchdown apiece by our tight ends, which I'd like to see them get more action, but that's just me.
I'm going to have to say it – so this is similar to last week because I said I had two predictions for Matt because I said if he played the whole game, he would get about – 300 to 400 yards, and if he didn't play the whole game, he'd get 150. He only got 94, so I was a little. But I'm gonna have to say.
Well, let me ask you guys this: you want to talk about something kind of fun? Is Matt Poniatowski a candidate for Mr. Ohio Football?
I think he is.
Oh yeah.
Based off of how he's been playing this whole season, I think he definitely is in the running. The Polish pistol, as you would call him,
or the Polish ice or popsicle is what Cito calls him.
I would say he's definitely in the running for it.
Braden, what do you think?
Oh, I completely agree. He's been absolutely great so far. I was just looking at it earlier. Let me see where it is. Last game, of course, he only threw five balls, but it was the first game he hasn't thrown a touchdown. He's thrown at least two touchdowns every single game.
Now, we had Greg Shoemaker from TriStateFootball.com on our show 2 weeks ago, and he says, and he holds himself to it, that only regular season numbers count for the Mr. Ohio Football because there's some teams that either don't make it to the playoffs, all but two in our region did, but they say it only is the regular season.
I think he's got a very good chance this season then to make that.
Yeah, I would think so.
Take a look at this. Threw for five touchdowns twice, six touchdowns another time. He only threw for less than three touchdowns once, and it was two against Mallard Creek.
Yeah.
I would say, I mean.
That's his only, and if you ask him, he would admit that's his only bad game is Mallard Creek.
I would say, honestly, I know these are just Moeller records, but based off the fact that he's broken pretty much every quarterback record that there is at Moeller, I would say he's got to be high up on the list for Mr. Ohio. This
tough year. For Southwest Ohio guys to get it. Even tougher for Southwest Ohio juniors to get it. That always plays into it, right, wrong, or indifferent.
Which is it is hard to believe. And okay, so this is another debate that I've had with my brother before. Since Matt is the number one player in baseball in his class in the state of Ohio, do you think Matt's going to be the quarterback next year? Is he going to go the Deuce McBride route? I mean, Deuce would have probably been.
Well, Deuce got hurt.
But he did get hurt, but he would have probably gone D1 in football if he chose
for
that route.
For
do you
sure.
think that Matt's going to play quarterback next year?
I do.
You do?
I do. I think, and I know it's always it's one of the questions up there, but there's something special in Matt. If you ask Matt, he'll tell you this too. There's something special about walking out on Friday night, a la walking out at Heritage Bank Arena for a St. X game. Like, when those lights come on, like, and I'm a baseball guy, you don't get that in baseball.
Of course.
And when he starts to think about, you know, his summer ball's done, when he's done playing his summer ball, this fast forward into next summer, those Friday night lights are going to become even brighter for his senior year, and I think that's going to be hard for him to say no to. I really do.
So, if we're going to do other sport, I'm going to say for my other predictions, I'm going to say the longest passing touchdown by either team will be, I'm going to say 80 yards, and Matt is going to throw for minimum of 300 yards.
That's a pretty safe bet.
With minimum of 300 yards with four touchdowns.
You say an 80-yard touchdown. You're not going to put a name on that. You're just going to say an 80-yard
well,
touchdown.
Okay, I mean,
that's like saying the Bengals or the Ravens on Thursday night are going to score.
I'll say 80 yards for either team. If it's Moeller, it's going to be to Fogler.
That's a good safe bet. I like that. How about
one.
The year he's having?
Of course.
Incredible
year.
And
again, we mentioned this last episode. He's one of the most down-to-earth guys I've ever met.
Yeah.
I have him in class. He's genuinely one of the – I mean, because, you know, in the movies
don't
or whatever.
You guys call it chill now?
He's chill. Pretty chill.
He's
I mean,
chill.
In the movies, you get, like, the, you know, the star athletes, like, this way high-up guy, and he's just
He would not make a movie cut.
No, he would not. I mean, he's just a normal dude.
Would Braid make the movie cut for hockey?
Nah, he's pretty weird.
Are we doing the other?
Yeah,
I was pretty off on my last one last week.
Just a bit.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with go longest rush again. I feel like that could be a good one. I'll say Dante Ware. He longest rush, 43 yards.
43 yards?
I like that. He's going to cut loose, get through the linebackers, bounce off. Yeah. That's a good 43, not 42 or
no,
41.
No,
43.
43.
Yeah, exactly.
What if he gets 42? How mad are you going to be? On a scale of 1 to 10.
I'm going to be mad, yeah.
Go Alec Weider style.
Going to die for that end zone.
Alec Weider was something special.
I know.
The freshman that – my son's on the freshman football team here. They love him as a coach. Absolutely love him. Probably because he's – eye level with them.
Yeah, of course. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. So what's your prediction? What are you saying? What other prediction do you got? Because we're making these specific predictions.
I told you, I think both tight ends get touchdowns. I think Matt throws for over 50 yards. that's my prediction
that's
on Friday
prediction?
Night. I think
Safe
we win,
fair?
And I think we face
winner Princeton Hamilton.
I think we face Hamilton. I think Hamilton gets Princeton, and I think we face Hamilton. How about that score of Hamilton-Princeton earlier in the year?
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Hamilton smoked them.
I will say, because, again, this is something that we talked about. There's a lot of wild cards in this year. Because, like, in previous years, you know, you had Wes Claremont, who barely made the playoffs every year, and this year they're coming back, and they were pretty good contenders for the playoffs this year. Hamilton, who in past years has not necessarily performed well. Wynn Woods, who has just been moved up to D1, who hasn't performed very well in the past years. All these wild cards are coming up. It's going to be interesting to see how far Hamilton can make it, especially due to their past history in football.
Could we see Moeller and Lakota West for a fourth year in a row?
I think it's very possible. Luckily, we won't have to play Springfield again this year.
Correct. That was a surprising loss.
That was a little
week.
Surprising,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's very possible, but especially with the road they have, I think it's going to be hard for any four of those teams to come out of there. Because you got West playing Elder, that'll be a good matchup, and you also have Wynn Woods playing X. Both great teams.
That's a toss-up in my eyes. I think that's a toss-up.
I think it is.
I think every team from here on out, you're deep in the playoffs now. I mean, every team you're going to face is going to be a tough opponent.
Oh, yeah.
And there's and football team and guys have down nights, and you just gotta hope your team. The great thing about Moeller, there's enough weapons on this team that you can afford maybe other more than other schools afford a down night. If Fogler's having a down night, you got somebody else. You got three other weapons. Now, if Matt's having a down night, you better have a good run game. But yeah, it'll be fun. This is great. I mean, isn't it great to be talking about a football team like this and number one in the state, soccer team number one in the state? I mean, how special is it for you guys in your senior class to have two teams like this in the fall competing for a state championship?
I mean, this is awesome. I mean, this is a good problem to have because, like, especially for getting guests for this show, like, it's hard to pick. Are we going to do football? Are we going to do soccer? Are we going to do – I mean, this
we'll
is
do
a good
both. We'll
have.
Do a four-hour we'll show.
So, yeah, this is a good problem to have, especially because, like, we've had general success in all the sports. I mean, all 4 years. I mean, you had the volleyball three-peat. You had baseball. Was it back-to-back or was it three-peat? First state.
Baseball, we were regional final, one championship regional final.
Oh, but they still, I mean,
still
baseball
a lot of
having
still
baseball a lot of success, football clearly a lot of success.
And that all sports trophy is located down in that athletic department. Yeah. The reigning all sports GCL South all sports trophy.
Is it two past 2 years?
I can't confirm that. I think so, but I'm not 100% sure.
I think we got it this year.
We did get it last year. I do remember that.
And they just got the new plaque to put on it, so it looks good.
Yeah, past 2 years. Yeah. Right now, we were talking about yesterday, last time, we were losing by two. But just a bit off topic, you were talking about how, like, now you're getting into, like, every game's going to be tough. Do you think then, there's been talks about this for years, do you think then the playoffs should be, like, cut down around?
Yeah, for sure.
Don't have it be 16, have it be 18.
Oh, I think, especially with watching the Moeller-Sycamore game, they need to cut down how many teams are in the playoffs because, no offense to Sycamore, but having a team like that, especially a team that's going 1-10 in the entire in the regular season playing the number one team.
Why do you guys think they have 16 teams? I think I have a very strong opinion why I think.
My reasoning is I think it's participation.
I think it's money.
I also think it's
money.
It's
OHSAA.
Yes.
It's money. It's gate. Broadcast rights because you got to pay to broadcast the games. And I think they get a lot of money for it. That's why I think.
I think so too. I just think it's – I mean, you got to think about the students, like the athletes on the team like Sycamore who's like – they're going to the game. They're like, there's no reason for us to come out to this game. I mean, anything can happen, but it's just like why would you – when you're going 1-10, why would you put them – especially 16 versus 1, why would you put them up against
– Well, if you want to like look at that way, Marion Local – is the going for the record for longest win streak in Ohio history. The team that they're supposed to play, they didn't have enough guys, so they had to – they had the
forfeit.
No, they didn't have the forfeit. They just, like, canceled. They tried to move on. And then the next three teams, they refused to play them. So it's thinking these teams that are, like, 0-10, like, why would we want to play a team that's won 62 games in a row?
100% agree. And I have to get rolling here, but here's a question for you guys to talk about. If you're going to a break and come back without me, and I've gotten into this debate, Marion Local is a Division 7 school, and everybody talks about how they're unbeatable. Moeller, and they're number two in the state right now, according to Matt. I think it's Matt. I'm not sure if it's Max Preps or no, actually, it's Drew Pasture, Fantastic 50. Moeller and Marion Local play mano-a-mano, even though it's Division 7, Division 1. Who wins that football game?
I'm going to be honest with you. The only – based off of everything, I think it would actually be a close game because the only reason that they're Division 7 is their size. Like, that's quite literally how divisions work because, like, you can have – I mean, Corey Kiner, for example, he went to Roger Bacon, which I don't know what division they were when he was there because they've gone between Division 3 and 4. I mean,
I have a slightly different vantage point, though. I don't think it's close, and here's why. Smaller school, you're right, but with smaller schools, what do their dudes have to do if they have a smaller school and not enough Jimmy and Joes? What do they have to do?
They got
to
play both sides of the
ball. They got to play both sides of the ball. You can get away with that in Division 2, 3. We're seeing LaSalle do that now, Division 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Division 1, you got Jimmys and Joes on both sides of the ball who don't have to go that, and by the time that – whether I don't care how many Division I athletes you got, by the time you get to that third and fourth quarter, those cats are tired.
That
and
is
I
true.
Think that's where Moeller would just impose their will, But you know what? It doesn't matter because it's not going to happen. It's Division 7 versus Division 1, but it's fun to talk about.
Yeah, which is the same thing that happened with the St. X game versus whatever the West Virginia
Correct.
Team.
Correct.
Again, because I went to that game because my friend's in the band and it was a senior night. Why would you play that game? Making them come all the way down from West Virginia to just get blown out by 60 or more.
At the college
points,
level, they do it because of money because they get their signing deals, but high school's a little bit different. Yeah.
It's just, yeah. But, all right, well, thank you for coming, Barrett.
You
we
guys
really
are awesome.
Appreciate
I
you
really appreciate this.
Being our first guest and giving us your time. So,
In the storied history of your – what's your podcast called?
Crusader Corner.
The Crusader Corner. I will – in the annals of the Crusader Corner, I will be the first guest ever. That's a big deal to me.
Put your plaque on the wall.
Thank you. Yeah. Put it on there. Right next to the WMOE Fan of the Week that I'm going to win, too.
Yes, of course. Yeah,
after
we'll
the
see what
Crusaders
happens.
Win 42-14. Or no.
42-24. Don't change your prediction.
You better write this down.
42-24.
42-24.
I'll keep in touch.
Write that down, Nathan. I knew where you work on Friday nights. Guys, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate you coming.
Let's do it again.
Yep. Of course.
I get you guys on my podcast, too. Brayden, I'd like to talk a little bit about kind of everything you've done, too, with the baseball program, the analytics. I'm mesmerized by it and how you're consistently putting it out on social media. I've seen dudes do it before, but then after about a week, they say, this is stupid. Mm-hmm. You've continued to do it. In season, off season, and it's awesome. It really is very cool.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it's fun to do.
We'll get you on soon.
Oh yeah.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
For coming.
Yep.
So that was Big Mo Barrett, first guest. We're excited to see what happens with the future of this podcast. Obviously, a good first guest.
Yeah. It was fun. I enjoyed it. Good talks. Honestly, kind of hit all of our points.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the only point we have left is, I mean, he talked about soccer a little bit, but soccer's number one in the state. They're playing in the state semifinals.
Tomorrow. 7, Wright State.
Yep, they beat Beaver Creek 5-4 in PKs. We were getting updated during open house. It was a little hectic to see what the score was.
Yeah, I wasn't there.
We were down there, and the only update we had was the halftime score that Barrett had tweeted. So I had to text him. I said, "What was the score?" And
I saw that. I'm like, "Did we lose?" There's nothing important now here.
It was hard to tell. And then PKs, we went out and we won, which we I'll say as the storied history of soccer, I'm not a big fan of having to go into PKs based off of our history.
Yeah.
So.
I think it's also like it's 3 extra times in the PK. So that's a lot of minutes of no one being able to score, which it shows both teams are great. But like, if we're going to the PKs this early, probably expect to go in PKs the rest of the way.
Yes. So next week we should have an episode coming out. The plan is to have it out obviously before Friday.
Yep.
We have our guests lined up.
It's gonna be fun. It's a secret.
It's a secret guest.
If someone can guess who the guest is, I don't know. I'll give them a high five.
I'll give you a high five, too. We are extremely excited for this guest. I will say, little preview, they asked us to be on the podcast. He texted me and Braden, and he said, we love the podcast, and we would love to be on. So we're super excited for our second guest, our first we'll say, for a student-athlete guest. So, but again, we appreciate Barrett coming on here, giving us his time. Busy schedule, so.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He's not winning that thing, by the way.
I don't think he is. I think we've got that locked. So, I will be tasting Montgomery and Chips as soon as we can guess. So.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited for that. So, well.
Yep. Thank you, everyone, for listening. This is shortened by 3 minutes our last podcast. We're like, let's try to shorten it a bit more. 3 minutes is fine.
So we appreciate everyone tuning in and listening, and we hope that you continue to listen to the podcast, and we appreciate everyone for listening. So
good luck soccer, good luck football this week. Let's go get a couple wins.
We will see you all next week.
Yep, thank you so much. Have a great day.